And welcome back. We continue now our theme of Midday on Theater. J. Wynn Russick's still here with me in the studio. And Judy, we're going to talk about a play at Arena Players here in Baltimore called Flyin' West. And I understand that this play has a historical foundation. What's that?
Well, it's a little known part of history. The play is set in 1898 in the western frontier town of Nicodemus, Kansas. Arena Players artistic director Donald Owens told the audience the night I was there, "It's something you don't get in your history books, but the West was not all John Wayne. Nicodemus was founded during Reconstruction by African Americans, mostly former slaves." This is a play by Pearl Klieg, an Atlanta-based playwright. Her writing often has a historical African American context. It's directed at Arena Players by Rosalind Cawthon, head of the theater department at the Baltimore School for the Arts. One of the main characters is a woman named Sophie, and she is determined to build up this town. One of the subplots is her campaign to pass legislation that would forbid residents, landowners, from selling to outsiders, specifically to white speculators. Let's listen to her explaining her dreams for Nicodemus to a young woman named Minnie.
"I want this town to be a place where a colored woman can live her life like a human being. I want this town to be a place where a colored man can work as hard for himself as we used to for the white folks. I want this town to be a place where a colored child can go to anybody's door and be treated like they belong there."
"The way you talk about this place, you make it sound like a paradise for colored people."
"It's not a paradise yet, but it can be beautiful. The century's changing in 2 years, and this could be such a great time for colored folks. We could really be free instead of spending our lives working for the same people that used to own us."
That's Lisa Wooten and Yakima Rich in Arena Players production of Flyin' West. So, Judy, last week we talked about a feminist production of Frankenstein. Is this a kind of feminist look at the Old West?
Absolutely. An African-American feminist look at the Old West. Besides Sophie and Minnie, and we just heard, there are two other female characters, Minnie's older sister Fanny and an elderly woman called Miss Leah. These four women have formed a kind of family, a family created by choice instead of by blood. That kind of family is also common in Pearl Klieg's writing. I interviewed Pearl Klieg back in 2001 when two of her plays were running in Baltimore, and she told me, "I'm always conscious of the fact that our families were so destroyed in slavery that we're still in the process of trying to heal. Based on that, what are we going to do? We can't get back the families that are lost. Those women have created a new family. They've managed to make a family based on the quality of relationships." Pearl Klieg's own family, she grew up in Detroit, was very much an activist family. Her father was a preacher, and everyone from Malcolm X to Martin Luther King to Stokely Carmichael came through his church and through their house. That's where her political interest started. But her writing, and she also writes novels, is very much focused on giving women their voice, allowing them to be heard. There are two male characters in Flying West, but the women are definitely in charge. You can almost see the character of Sophie as the John Wayne character. She wields a shotgun. She's going to protect what's right and what's good.
So when it comes to portraying these strong women, how do the actresses at Arena Players do?
Well, one of the strongest things about their performances and about Rosalind Cawthon's direction is that you feel a real affection among them. And also the performers do a very good job of conveying these very different personalities of these four women. Starting with Sophie, Lisa Wooten, whom we just heard, plays her as a tough, determined, proud woman. She knows what she wants, and she won't let anyone or anything get in her way. She moved here from Memphis with Fanny and Minnie. Kiana LaShawn Hill plays Fanny. She's a very sweet-tempered woman, a good contrast with Sophie. Fanny thinks the best of everyone. She's conciliatory. She's such a good person, she can't see evil in others. And we see that in Kiana LaShawn Hill's performance. Fanny's younger sister, Minnie, has been living in London with her new husband. Yakima Rich's portrayal is really one of the high points of this production. She plays her as a gentle soul and innocent. The fourth woman is Miss Leah. She's played by Rosie Young, an actress who is much younger than the character. She's not blood kin to these other women, but she is the matriarch in this sort of makeshift family. And Rosie Young gives her grit and wisdom. She has some of the best speeches in the play. I brought a clip of her telling Minnie about slavery days and about James, the father of her children. When they were slaves, all their children were sold before James even saw them. And then after emancipation, disease took the five who were born free.
James never saw any of their faces until we got free. Then he couldn't look at them long enough. That was a man who loved his children. He hug him and kiss him and take him wherever he go. I think when he saw the fever take all five of them, one by one like that, racing each other to heaven, it just broke him down. He waited so long to have his sons, and now he was losing them all again. He was like a crazy man just before he died. So I buried him next to his children, and I closed the door in that little house we had, and I started walking west. If I'd had wings, I set out flying west.
Rosie Young in Flying West at Arena Players. So, Judy, you mentioned that there are two male characters. Tell us about their portrayals.
Well, Tom, there's a good guy and a bad guy.
Isn't there always?
The good guy is Will, who's very sweet on Fanny. He respects women. Isaiah Evans plays him, and all of that comes across in his performance. And this romantic subplot is kind of a nice break from some of the real harshness in the play. The bad guy is Minnie's husband, Frank. He's a poet, but he's also an abusive bully. He has returned to the United States to claim his share of the inheritance from his deceased white father. He's convinced that his white half-brothers, who used to own him, will go along with this. Unfortunately, Paul John West plays Frank as way too much of a bad guy, really from the start. He's controlling, he's condescending toward his wife, Minnie. He's a snob, he's self-loathing. And he plays Frank almost like a villain in a melodrama, and we don't get to really see even a hint of what Minnie might have seen in him originally.
So Flying West, of course, is a play obviously with a kind of unusual subject, but what overall, would you recommend this production at the Arena Players?
The subject is the main reason to see this production, and I'd particularly recommend it for young people and especially young women. There are some dark but very real themes, racism and abuse, all too present a century later. There is, I should say, an affirmative final scene that takes place many months after the rest of the action, and a very nice little visual touch at the end involving Sophie. That's in the script. The depiction of Frank adds this melodramatic note that detracts from the truth and the significance of what Pearl Klieg is trying to say. But it's an important play with great roles for women. I saw it when Arena Players did it back in 2001, and I was very glad to see it again.
And Arena Players, one of the gems of the Baltimore theater scene, one of many. I mean, it's the oldest continuous African-American
community theater in the country.
In the United States, and it's right here. And we just have a minute left or so, but nice to get a chance to meet Stephanie Ibarra and Center Stage. You've covered Center Stage. You've covered the regional theater scene for a long time around here. I mean, it seems that to me that things bode well over there. What's your
take? I think so too. I was very encouraged by that conversation, very encouraged by the bold new season that she's put together. Center Stage does have an international reputation for being out in front, and I think we're going to continue to take those more steps out in front. So, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and Center Stage, you know, the most well-known and sort of largest equity theater company in the state, but one of many now. I mean, boy, the scene has really just grown exponentially in the last 20 years or so, and it's great to see a new fresh face come and take a stab at it. Okay.
So absolutely.
Flying West at the Arena Players is there until a week from Sunday, March 24th, and we've got information about the showtimes and stuff on our website, wypr.org/midday. So next week, we're going to go to the Everyman Theater. Judy, what are we going to talk about
then? We're going to see a Pulitzer Prize-winning play, Dinner with Friends by Donald Margulies.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty famous. I mean, it won the Pulitzer Prize.
That's
and it's
right.
Like the 20th anniversary or something for Everyman Theater. For that play. For that play. And then tomorrow, we're going to talk about Everyman Theater and their Salon series. So that'll be good, too. All right. Good to see you, as always. Thank you so much. All right. That is it for us today. Looking ahead to tomorrow, it's Midday on the Arts. And we're going to take a stab at kind of an eternal question. What is beauty? And how do we respond to beauty in art and music and dance and theater? My guest will be Baltimore artist Jimmy Rouse. He's got a new show at the Creative Alliance. Walters Art Museum, Juliet Marchari, director of the Walters Art Museum, Julia Marchari Alexander, and a neurologist, Dr. Anjan Chatterjee, will be here. He wrote a book called The Aesthetic Brain. He talks about how our brains respond to beauty and how our brains respond to art and how our understanding and appreciation of art is informed by sort of neurological impulses that maybe we can't even control. Plus, we're also, as I mentioned, we're going to talk to Everyman Theater's, we're going to talk about Everyman Theater's Salon series. They have this series of staged readings, and this year the theme is women's voices. And there's a DC-based playwright named Colleen Sinnett Jennings. So she's going to join me. We're going to talk about the play that she is currently writing for a future production at Everyman Theater. It's all part of Midday on the Arts tomorrow. Lunch today was provided by Eddie's of Roland Park. They're celebrating 75 years as Baltimore's gourmet grocer. Eddie's is making surprise workplace lunch drops every week this year as part of their 75th anniversary celebration. For details, visit eddiesofrolandpark.com/anniversary. Stay tuned. Here and Now is coming up at the top of the hour right after the news. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
This is Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.